Hi, everyone. Welcome to our show. I'm Bobby Elias. Let's Create a Better World is the show. Healthy aging to help you learn to live longer, to prevent diseases. We're really into that subject a lot today and for the next few weeks. Living long is one of our goals, and one of the things that we are dedicated to is helping you learn all the problems of why we're sick and what we can do about it. Next week, we've got a great show with Cindy Sellers to talk about why people get the epidemic of diabetes and other major diseases and how we can cure them through, among many things, self-love and being happy. That has a lot to do with our illnesses. I've talked about this in previous shows with great guests, and Cindy wants to get into that pretty deep and talk about the epidemics of many diseases and what we can do about them to prevent them. All right. Let me give you a number to call to tell your friends. This is a number that you can call and hear the show on your phone anytime, anywhere. The show is, of course, it's on the Internet, of course, with PRN.FM. However, if you want to call and hear the show, here's the number. 712-775-6850. All right, let's get to our show today. We have a guest, Kevin Morey. He is a researcher on the causes of sickness. He's done lots of research on that. SGB is his company, and we've got a lot of great things to talk about, not only the causes of fungus, the causes of illness, aging, et cetera. Welcome to the show, Keith. How you doing?
Hi. I'm great, Bobby. How are you doing?
I'm always doing good. I stay healthy and positive, always. Okay, so first of all, tell our listeners a little more background on you, how you got into health and that whole thing. Take your time.
Well, briefly, I mean, I wasn't feeling great. I wasn't bad. I had a good immune system and everything, so I think it kept everything at bay. And I was basically 39 years old. And I started taking supplements, and you know, I'm not going to go into this, and I started feeling better. And I think I even had cancer at that point because there was a mole on my posterior that was every color but the right color.
Mm-hmm.
And through my own endeavors of learning, now it's just regular skin. You can't even see a mole there. And a biopsy that was done, it said it was cancer. So basically I got rid of that, and I started looking into health issues. And I've been doing this for 21 years since. So I have very unique ways of looking at health. And it comes down to three primary things that cause ill health: fungus, low body temperature, and root canals. So we can
I like the root canal thing. Tell our listeners what you mean by that. The dental problems that can cause this. If you could, please.
Okay, so you know, a lot of people think, oh, I'll get a root canal. I have a pain in my tooth, and they drill out the nerve and. Mm-hmm. Everything's just fine and dandy. But really what causes the root canal to go bad, or the system and the immune system in that area to go bad, is a fungal infection. It's the one that starts both the low body temperature and the bad teeth. So let's just talk about the teeth right now. It's like the last one on the list, but it's very, very important. When you get an infection in your tooth and it invades into the nerve, there's a lot of pain. And the nerve's there to indicate there's something wrong there that needs to be corrected. Well, the dentist, they have a drill, and it only goes in one direction, straight down. It can't go diagonally. It can't go, you know, because if you look at a tooth, it's like a fist, and then you have, like your other hand's like a root system, which is spread out. And drilling straight down, you do kill off the nerve that's telling you there's pain, but that's like driving a car and the red light goes on and you cut the wire and you think everything's fine. Because what they do is they drill straight down, they kill off, let's just say, a majority of the infection, but they can't kill all of it because it's in the tubulars in the root system which is way beyond where the drill can get to. So what they do is they pack it with antibiotics. Well, antibiotics do not kill all bacteria, kill no viruses, and kill no fungus. So basically, you leave a tooth there that they put a cap on that is a Chernobyl that will grow back and go into the tooth as well as into the bone of the jaw eventually. And because there's no nerve there to tell you have a problem, you end up pumping through the tubulars into the bone structure, into the bloodstream, the most toxic waste material that the body could produce. And what happens is it starts to break down parts of the body. It starts to get in and damaging areas. The system gets overloaded, and then you start to have ill health.
Wow.
And if you'd like, I can give you a couple of examples of that.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I had a girl, 29 years old. She hadn't been able to function for 3 years. She had tried everything. She could barely get out of bed. And so I have a detox for fungus. And I think that's the main thing that causes ill health. And she didn't have low body temperature. But I never asked her about her teeth because I never thought a 29-year-old would have root canals.
Wow.
And so I got her 80% better. She was feeling pretty good. But she wasn't feeling 100%. And I kind of went back to basics, and I asked her, you know, do you have any teeth problems?
Mm.
She goes, yeah, well, I just had a root canal 3 years ago. I said, that's your problem. And I suggested that she may look into eliminating that because I think that's her primary situation. She went down to Mexico. She didn't have a lot of money, and she pulled the tooth, and it was so infected that the dentist couldn't do it in one sitting, had to have her come back the next day to finish off what they call cavitating, removing the infection out of the jaw in that area. And now she's 100%. I had a more interesting client. I had thyroid cancer, and she was about 55, and she had fungal infection. She had low body temperature, and when I asked her about her teeth, she says, oh, my teeth are great. I said, no root canals? She goes, yeah, I have two, but they're great. They don't hurt. They're good. I said, you know, my suggestion is to look into it on the Internet to look about root canals because I think if you have cancer that you should take every avenue to make sure that you're going to get better. So she looked on the Internet, found that, root canals were not a very favorable item on the Internet, that they shouldn't, you know, have root canals, and she found one that shows what they call a meridian. A meridian is this energy that flows through your body like rivers, and each river goes through a different tooth all the way down to your feet, and these are the acupuncture points where acupunctures, they hit this meridian line and stimulate healing in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So it was. She found that the first root canal she ever had, the meridian went through down to her thyroid. So she thought, oh, that's interesting. You know, what a coincidence. So she pulled that tooth and she called me back like 3 days later. And she was crying profusely. I couldn't stop her. I couldn't get a word in edgewise, and finally discerned that she'd pulled the tooth. She was in immediate pain. No matter what she took or the dentist gave her, the pain wouldn't go away, and she couldn't sleep for 3 days. She didn't have one wink of sleep for 3 days, and she finally called me, and I was able to negate that pretty rapidly. But it just shows that she had no inkling that there was such a huge infection that she, you know, if you've ever had a wisdom tooth, you know, you pull it out and you're eating in 2 hours, there's really very little pain to it. But
yeah.
She ended up pulling the second tooth, and it was all infected. And happy to say that, you know, there's a sad part of the story. After doing everything we suggested, you know, everything was gone. You know, there was no lump, no anything. Everything was good. She's feeling better. She actually had her daughter and her sister do the protocol. And here's the funny thing. Not the funny thing, the sad thing. is that she had lost her job and her insurance was running out, like they give an extra couple of months so you can find another job. And she was afraid that even if it was fixed, that it could come back. And so she took out the thyroid anyway.
Wow.
Anyway, that's crazy,
Keith,
isn't it?
Let me reintroduce you to our listeners. This is Keith Moray, a researcher of a company called SGS, and a research on what causes sickness, what deep health. He does a lot of research, and one of the things that he's found is that fungus is a major contributor. My name is Bobby Elias. This is Let's Create a Better World, and so let's get back to Keith and his story. Keith, a fungus, there are 7 symptoms of fungus infection. You've already mentioned a little bit about it, but I've noticed here the list is moodiness, sex drive, bloating, fatty foods, memory loss. That's quite a list. Could you go into that list one by one and explain a little more about how these cause fungus and more about what is fungus?
Yeah, there's lots more than what I have here, but I hit 7 symptoms that people could relate to, you know, directly.
Mm-hmm, right.
So the first one is a craving for carbohydrates, even though you try to suppress it. Moodier than you'd care to admit to. Sex drive, really not what you would like it to be. Short-term memory. Hypoglycemic, that means fatigue mid-afternoon, a little anxious if you haven't eaten.
Right.
Fatty foods don't set well with your digestive tract or you try to avoid them. And with men, it's like a full feeling because they have muscles to keep the bloating out, and with women, it's bloating where the stomach extends.
Mm. Wow. And you know, what I like about your work, Keith, is that you really talk about how we need to treat people, not the way doctors treat people. Tell us the difference of how doctors treat people. I mean, we've gone over this on our show, but I want to hear your take on it, how doctors treat people and what the better way to do it. For example, let me just say this before I get into that. I'm a nutritionist. I have people like we run the Gary Noel Health Support Group. I run it here in L.A., Southern California. And if you care about people, if you really show that you really go into detail and really tell them what to do and you motivate them, you inspire them, then a lot of the work's done right there. A lot of doctors, they take you for 5 minutes, talk to you, and they give you a prescription for drugs. And that's all they do. Tell us the difference between the medical system and the way people like you and I treat people or talk to people.
Well, let's talk about that briefly before I go into the fungus.
That's right.
You know,
I forgot.
You can't blame the doctors per se. I mean, in the old days, most doctors went into the field for helping people. And then there was a certain faction that was looking for the money because it was very profitable. But regardless of how they went into it, they're actually programmed, as far as I'm concerned, because if you're going to brainwash something or someone, the first thing you do is you restrict the amount of sleep they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing you do is you tell them what to do every minute. Do this, do this, do this. To a point where they just become robots. And there's no reason for the internship to be so brutal that they do. They do shifts of, you know, 48 hours. They get a few hours in between. They're instructed by the person that's teaching them to do this at this case and do this in this case and take this drug with this case. And over a year of lack of sleep, being told what to do and specifically what to do in every case, they have been programmed. They are no different than what they did in Korea and everything else. So, you know, during the Korean War. So, that being said, they look at a situation, they look at the symptom, and they have a drug for it.
Right.
They don't look at what caused the symptom. They don't look at the underlying factors that may have come up to that symptom being there. They just look primarily, not all doctors, and a majority there are good doctors out, and they're really good at diagnosing things.
Mm-hmm.
But for treating, that they have limitations because they're told that you have to use these drugs in these cases or they're going to lose their license. They can't do alternative because they would lose their license. So they're restricted and they're told that you get this symptom, you give this drug. If you do something other than that, you're going to be in trouble and you could lose your license.
I agree. That's a problem in this country, and it's all because of greed and money. The pharmaceutical industry, they're so huge. They're one of the biggest entities in the world. And everything comes from the top down as far as treating people and medical. They're making money on cancer their way, not the more holistic way. And just greed and money has been the root cause of why our whole medical system, in fact, this whole country, is falling apart. Your thoughts on that?
I would agree, and let's get to what I'll give you. I'm going to give you specific things that have torn up our digestive tract and really caused us to become ill. Because the reason that the fungus, which is naturally occurring in the digestive tract, it actually performs a function in the digestive tract. The digestive tract is isolated as it goes down, so it doesn't go into the other parts of the body. It actually has barriers. There's a lot of flora that is created when you're born, like seven layers, which is like a filtering system that doesn't allow bad guys into the bloodstream to proliferate. The problem is, sometimes, within a few, if not the first day or the, 10th day, that these kids, because the mother wasn't healthy to start with because she's had drugs and antibiotics, the antibiotic is given to a kid for an ear infection or some other infection, and that just tears up the digestive tract. The good flora is damaged, and these seven layers are damaged, and the fungus, which is naturally occurring everywhere in our space, on our hands or feet or, in every location and naturally occurring in the digestive tract, are able to eat their way through the intestinal lining into the bloodstream, and they start to proliferate throughout the system, and they have like little homes that they have the perfect environment to grow. The primary one is the gallbladder, and then you've got the sinus cavity, and then you've got the lower colon. Mm-hmm. And I think right now I'm just going to go into the gallbladder.
Yes.
So, let me start with the digestive tract. So you've destroyed the digestive tract. You've made pinholes in the digestive tract, which they call leaky gut syndrome.
Right.
And what happens is, instead of a protein fully digesting into an amino acid that can go through the intestinal wall and then be built up to proteins to make collagen and to make chemicals in your body, you end up putting a protein, which is hugely, a huge molecule that goes into the bloodstream, and the immune system sees it as a foreign object and makes an antibody to that foreign object to destroy it, which is fine. It's its job. The problem is, let's say it's a protein of broccoli that didn't get fully dissolved, and the immune system can't see anything. It doesn't have eyes, but it senses energy and frequency and in chemical reactions when it touches it. And so if you get this protein of broccoli and you make an antibody to it, now the second, the next day you eat broccoli and it digests properly and it goes through the system and it feeds the cell an amino acid of broccoli, that piece of amino acid has a similar signature to the protein of broccoli, and it actually starts to irritate the cell because it thinks there's something dangerous in there that shouldn't be in there. So that's where you get allergies to things. If this happens enough, the immune system overreacts to it, and then you get histamine responses, and you have problems.
Well, our bodies and our health are so, so, so important. One of the things that a lot of people don't know much about is alkaline. They think it's just water, and they just heard the word. But there's a lot to that, and I'd like you to explain what is alkaline and how foods and different things need to be alkalized, and the difference between that and acidic. Go right into that,
okay,
please.
Well, the in the bloodstream, you need a pH range of 7.38 to 7.42, this really tight range of pH. And if you get out of that pH by 1 degree in either direction, alkaline or acidic, the likelihood you're dead in an hour. So the body has to maintain that pH in the blood precisely in that small 7.38 to 7.42 to be able to have healthy, you know, a healthy lifestyle. The problem is, fungus, once it's out of the digestive tract, its primary food is carbohydrates and trace minerals. Now, the carbohydrates, and you're going to find this interesting, is like 70% of all carbohydrates we ingest are utilized by the brain. The brain is a carbohydrate fiend. So if the fungus that's gotten out and is proliferating in the gallbladder, sinus, and colon is eating up all this carbohydrates, and the brain's not getting what it wants, enough carbohydrates to function properly, it will start making you crave carbohydrates. So you're driving down the street, and all of a sudden you're not having enough. You see a Winchell's donuts, you're just veering off like, oh, yeah, a donut sounds really good right now. The problem with a donut is you get the carbs, and they're not quality carbs. You get, because they spike insulin, get lots of fats, rancid fats, and protein that your body didn't need. It wasn't desiring. And you end up getting obese and overweight and feeling lousy from insulin reactions. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So here comes to the alkaline part of it. Okay? Bad enough you're craving and you're getting things you don't need and you're spiking your insulin, which is a number two cause of brain damage and the number one cause of probably aging. Is excess insulin, and but the other thing is trace minerals. Now we have to recycle trace minerals every day because we don't get enough in our food to suffice the day properly. So when we crush the blood cell in the spleen, it takes all these minerals out of the blood, and it goes processes through the liver and produces bile. And the bile has all these minerals with waste material and cholesterol that digest fats, okay? And it recycles the minerals through the digestive tract, uptakes the minerals again so we can reutilize the minerals. But if the fungus is eating up all our trace minerals, and they love trace minerals, and trace minerals in the bloodstream bond to amino acids to make chemicals to make us function properly, right?
Right.
Then we don't stop functioning properly. We start to not make the chemicals that need to make us think properly, build tissue properly, and everything else. But the worst part of it is the minerals make the amino acid into a neutral or an alkaline form, which keeps the pH in balance. Now, if we don't have the minerals and we can't keep the pH in balance, the body starts to naturally leach calcium out of the bone to make what they call calcium bicarbonate, which is like sodium bicarbonate that you put on your battery to remove the excess acid, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, this calcium bicarbonate neutralizes the acid in the bloodstream, and the body gets to where it needs to be gotten, but the problem is this calcium falls apart in your muscles and synovial fluid, forms free-floating calcium, and this calcium gets in the joints, and it's like glass grinding down the joints, so you start to get arthritis. It gets into the muscle, you get muscle pain. It's like glass, and your whole system degrades and to a point that it damages cell structure and can cause a mutation in the genetics and can cause cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough talk yet?
That's good. That's the problem. Cancer is, all these things are growing, Keith, as you know. Cancer, diabetes, they're epidemics, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. More people are dying. Autism is growing fast. Talk a little bit about autism.
Well, autism, you know, I've been in about 10 seminars that top Mercola and Klinghar and Anju and Cowden, all these top alternative doctors, MDs, get together usually once or twice a year. We didn't do it this, only did it once last year, I think. But we usually get twice a year, and we sit around a round table, so to speak, and try to figure out autism. And it's not one thing that causes autism. What we're seeing is that the mother wasn't healthy because her mother wasn't healthy. And all this fungal infection we just talked about, degrading the pH and this calcium forming, and we haven't talked about all the other things, that hormone deficiencies, which we could talk about later.
Right.
But you're seeing a degrading of our genetics. And so their mother wasn't healthy when she was born. And so when she gave birth to the new child, it's not healthy. So just look at it as a weakened child. Mm-hmm. Now you throw in viruses and everything that they're saying, the mother maybe not nursed because she's not healthy enough, and the immune system she's passing on through colostrum isn't as good as her mother's did. And so the baby's immune system is more compromised. And then they throw vaccinations literally in the first 5 minutes of birth. And you're charging up an immune system that hasn't developed yet, hasn't even had the colostrum to give it an indication what to fight or what not to fight. And so it causes turmoil, as far as I'm concerned. And then you get all the vaccinations that occur after that, which, you know, are plugged in for every kind of means, and the immune system hasn't developed enough to handle it. And I think there's some people that say that if they give them just one at a time or at a, you know, longer space, maybe that would be, put it this way, it would be a lot better. Preferably there's no vaccinations unless it's absolutely a must. But what happens is the system turns off. The immune system, it gets overloaded, kind of turns off, and you can have a child autistic, like, boom, right out of the chute. But a lot of them happen when they're, like, you know, 18 months and stuff. They get another vaccination. I had a relative of my girlfriend. They had a vaccination, and they just started to have seizures. And they haven't been able to control the seizure. They're given more drugs, and causes the child to be more sick. And it's just an ugly road that they go down. Mm. And we're getting worse every generation. And I'm going to end with this. Because they don't have the ability to fight things as well as the previous generation, then EMFs and EMFs are from, like, radio waves and stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I should talk about briefly on that. Radio waves, it's not the radio wave itself. It's the carrier wave that carries the data. And it's so consistent, the data, boom, boom, like this consistency, that the cells go into what they call a fight-or-flight mode. And this fight-or-flight mode is where, when you go into fight or flight, like an animal's chasing you, you shut down any digestion or anything of that nature, so you have the energy to put it towards running or fighting or things of that nature. So look at a cell on the same premise. They feel this attack of this frequency hitting the cell, and they go into a fight or flight, and in that mode, their digestion and their uptake of nutrition is distorted, and they start to wither away. And then the cells replicate more often, and they get damaged more often, and then you have cellular problems right out of the chute. So anyway, so EMFs are a problem, and we get you know Wi-Fi and radio signals of every sort, including, you know, the radio signal that you're broadcasting, as right. well as, and there's different frequencies that have more things. But that's just one aspect. There's all these other aspects of the poor food that we eat, you know, Cocoa Puffs, Rice Krispies, that just tear up and spike insulin and degrade the system And then we have all these new kinds of bacteria and fungus, and because it's multiplied, we have, I can't remember, 220,000 different kinds of things that we're being attacked by, and all these chemicals that are on our food that the body doesn't even know what it is and tries to find a home for it, right? Because they're similar in nature to something else that should fit in this keyhole, and it kind of plugs it up. You know, it's a mess of what's happening, and it all starts from a system that's been degraded from the beginning, and it's an accumulation of all these symptoms that all of a sudden the system just shuts down. Their whole thinking process, their ability to function properly, it just degrades rapidly, and right. That's basically what you're talking about, autism.
Yeah, good. Now, EMFs you mentioned, and you also mentioned food. Two of the topics that we discuss a lot on this show and we come up with solutions are the electromagnet fields, all the, not just the cell phones, but anything that's electrical. The smart meters are coming out, the wires, the telephone wires up and all over the place, cell phone towers, they're everywhere. It's getting worse. But there's some lawsuits going on, and one of our guests is winning some of those lawsuits or in the process of winning. We've lost one, but we've won one, and we're battling two other ones, major ones around the country. And I say we because I'm with them verbally, if nothing else, and on this radio show. And we also talk on this radio show about GMOs. That's another fight that we've taken up. Another one is climate change. But in the GMOs, it's the food. You keep mentioning about how, we've both talked about how foods, the GMOs, and the kind of diet that people are eating. You mentioned the Cocoa Puffs, and the cereals that kids have are terrible. But I want to ask you to talk about, and by the way, let me reintroduce you again. Listeners, this is Keith Moray I'm interviewing. I'm Bobby Elias. Let's create a better world. Keith Moray is a researcher on every kind of why people are getting sick, health. And he's really a great, great guy with lots of information, lots of research. The next question I have for you is research on, you've done a lot of research on fungus and a lot on vitamin D. Could you put those two together and tell us how and why people need to have vitamin D and other things of that sort?
Okay, so vitamin D is considered a hormone, okay? And how it's produced is from sun coming into the skin, having a chemical reaction that produces a chemical, and I don't know exactly the chemical, that goes to the kidneys to make vitamin D. But it has to go through cholesterol. The sun hits cholesterol, and the cholesterol produces the chemical, and the chemical goes to the kidneys to produce vitamin D. So you have to have cholesterol in the skin. So here's a relationship of that to fungus. As I told you, fungus primarily grows in the gallbladder, sinus, and lower colon. So this fungus grows so much that it impedes the flow of bile. And bile is secreted to emulsify fat, make like openings in fat so that things can get in. It allows enzymes to get in to break up the fat, to make new cholesterol. Okay?
Mm-hmm, right.
And the cholesterol makes what they call pregnenolone, which is the master hormone to all hormones. Mm-hmm. And it feeds the adrenals to make estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA. Every hormone that we have is produced from cholesterol. So if your gallbladder can't digest your fats, and the fats can't make cholesterol, and the cholesterol can't make pregnenolone, you become hormone deficient. And the relationship, the cholesterol can't get into your skin, and you could be out getting burned and not producing vitamin D because the cholesterol's not there to convert, to make the chemical, to feed the kidneys, to make vitamin D.
Wow.
Does that give you a rough idea of the correlation?
That's so really good correlation.
What do hormones do? What are hormones? Hormones are regulating factors. They're secreted to do almost everything in our body. Hormones are who we are. So they regulate heart function, liver function, moodiness, sex drive, immune function. Everything we do are hormones. And when we become deficient in those hormones, we have a cascade of malfunctioning that occurs in the body. You know? So if you look at my questionnaire on in regards to the symptoms of fungal infection, a craving for carbohydrates we've already talked about, which is because the brain needs it and it's not getting it because the fungus eats it. Moodier than you'd care to admit to because you're not producing the hormones to allow you to cope with stress and to cope with a fight in a rational manner. You just go off because you don't have the hormones to regulate yourself. Okay? Mm-hmm. Sex drive, not what you would like to do. That's, again, hormones. Hypoglycemic, this we'll talk about in a few minutes. We'll go back to that. Fatty foods don't set well with your digestive tract because the bile's not digesting the fat. You're getting bloated because the fungus grows so rapidly, it outsources it, it out-eats its supply of food at some time, and it starts to die. And when it dies, the ones that are still alive eat the dead ones, and it causes gas.
Oh, my God.
And then short-term memory, the fungus releases what they call a bowel movement. It's an ethanol, a gasoline that it releases. It's like a bowel movement that it releases. And this ethanol passes the blood-brain barrier, starts to tear down the myelin sheath, and it damages the brain, and you have short-term memory. And I have a theory, and I'm pretty sure it's going to ring out true in the future, that MS is a severe fungal infection with low body temperature. So the fungus produces all this ethanol, or a form of ethanol, and it starts to tear down the myelin sheath in the brain, and the enzymes come in to break up the ethanol and get rid of it, so all you have is short-term memory damage from the myelin sheath and damage that happens in the brain. But if you have low body temperature, and temperature is crucial for activation of enzymes, which are just chemicals, you know, like, for instance, salt going into a pitcher, if it's, you know, of cold water, it just floats to the bottom. But you drop it into hot water, it instantly dissolves. Well, it's the same thing. If it doesn't have the right temperature in the body, it will not dissolve the problem. And so it doesn't dissolve the ethanol, and it keeps on making inroads on the myelin sheath and the damage, and you end up with lesions that are permanent damage, and you end up with MS.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. I'm going to give you the last 5-6 minutes to just go over anything else that we didn't discuss that you want to, but first I want to make another mention, and then also at the end we're going to give your contact information, because I want people to feel free to call you to, I don't know, get a pre-consultation for a few minutes at least. But anyway, let's get back to a question that I have here about antibiotics. I know that they destroy the flora that protects our digestive tract, and that enables the fungus to eat its way out of the bloodstream and making you crave carbohydrates. That's enormous. Tell us more about antibiotics and how they are causing problems and how that's related to fungus.
Well, in a number of ways. You know, they're a foreign object that stimulates or makes it kill a bunch of different bacteria. But it doesn't discriminate from good to bad. It just kills everything. And the problem is, as I've read, the bad bacteria can multiply faster than the good bacteria in most cases. So if you kill off a lot of good and bad bacteria in the digestive tract to resolve your short-term stomach ache or whatever bacteria that you're trying to get rid of, right, you're also destroying a large portion of the good bacteria, and the bad bacteria just regrows. I'll give you a simple example that women can relate to. They get a yeast infection, and they take antibiotics, and, yeah, it gets rid of the yeast infection, and 2 weeks later they got worse situation. It's double. Antibiotics can be life-saving in life-saving conditions. But if you don't have a life, you know, if you're not going to die, don't take the antibiotics. That's what I would do.
Right.
I wouldn't take anything. I haven't had antibiotics. I haven't been sick but twice in 22 years.
Well,
you know,
okay.
I'm 61. Last night I played 9 games of racquetball. I play an average of 15 to 25 a week. So I'm already, after Sunday and to last night, I've already played 15 games.
And you know, all that... Yeah, and all that age, you know, I'm in your age range, and all this exercise and movement of our body is so, so important to keep us young. That's something that people don't do a whole lot of. I wanted to bring up another thing.
Go ahead.
You had something to say on that?
Well, I was just going to say is that, you know, normally if you're 61, I'll be 62 in April, you know, your knees are bad or your muscles are hurt or your back's disoriented. I have none of those. I've been playing 15 to 25 games of racquetball for going on 12 years now, and no damage. It's how you support your body, what you eat, what you take, and how you support it when, you know, that many games of racquetball is not good for you, but I enjoy it. So I have to take extra support to maintain that.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't take the extra support, then you're going to break down and you're going to regret it later like the football players are.
Wow. Keith, as we're winding down, I want to ask you something about, I want your take on what I'm about to say about the whole how things are changing in this country and around the world as far as health and as far as the changes. There are some good things happening. You know, the GMO issue, we're winning that. It's all over the world. In Europe, they have to label them. And in fact, in the northern parts of Europe, in Denmark, Holland, and countries of that sort, they don't even allow genetically engineered foods up there. They don't allow Coca-Cola up there. If you probably noticed in the news, a lot of big companies like Walmart and Kmart are gone. Their stores are closing little by little. Things are changing. People are going to better things. People are learning. Here's the key words I'm seeing more and more and more. Vegan, non-GMO, raw food. I'm seeing the words... gluten-free. I'm seeing the word greens. These are all beautiful words. Nutrition and better health. Are people are wherever you go. When you go to restaurants, it's starting to change. You go to a supermarket. Mainstream supermarkets, they have one aisle of health foods. They didn't have that 10 years ago. So the world is changing. We're winning the battles on GMO. We're winning the battles on. We're slowly going to win the battle on EMFs. And the climate change, that's going to be a tough one. But I think in the long run, we can win that one. I'm very hopeful. I'm very positive. I've talked to a lot of people that are psychics and that sort and the astrology. The things of the future are good. But we're going through hell right now, and we're going to continue to go through some more hell. But I want your take on how the health movement is changing, and I just want to hear what you have to say about that.
Okay, so here's my take. Yes, we may be inching away. We're not making huge strides because the pharmaceutical companies are nicking us everywhere we can. They're putting ads saying, "Buy." You know, they go on. You see on the news that all these supplements don't work. You know, here's a study on this, and they're coming from pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
And they're using, like, if they do a study on vitamin E, they don't do natural vitamin E. They do a synthetic, which doesn't work. It's a different molecule. It's a different way the electrons roll around on them, and the body doesn't accept it. So doing a study on that with a synthetic and saying, oh, vitamin E doesn't work, right now there is inklings that they're going to take MSM, methyl sulfonylmethane, a naturally occurring sulfur, off the market. They've already done it in Europe. And I can tell you, MSM is the third most powerful product in the world for overall health. They're trying to take things that work naturally and take it off the market. Because MSM works so well, it's scary well.
Right.
And I've been taking 12 grams for the last 21 years, right, when I opened the market to it. That's why I don't have any knee problems and back problems and things, and I have energy all day, and everybody that I turn it on to, it works.
Yes.
And they're trying to take it off the market because it works. I've taken, you know how non-toxic it is? I've taken 180 grams. That's like over a third of a pound IV in the three-hour period. No side effects.
Yeah, wow, that's really something.
Think about 12 grams. That's a third of an ounce a day, and it doesn't hurt me. And they're trying to take it off because they say it does. They found a study that does something. They're taking it off because it's healthy, and the pharmaceutical companies know that it works, and they don't want it. And it just pisses the hell out of me.
Right, me too. You know, they're so huge, and there's so much money making in the pharmaceutical industry, the medical industry, the war machine, and the greed and the things that they're doing is just really, really bad. However, as I was saying, though, I do see a current of people, young people and old people of all ages on the internet, social media. There's things going on. There's meetings going on. There's more talk. More people are learning. And I just do see, maybe not this year, next year, maybe not for a few years, but somewhere down the road, there's going to be some big fights and some big things to make things change. I really see that. You're right, though. It's moving, inching along very slowly right now. But it's not because I'm a positive guy, but I do see little signs of more people learning and knowing about all these things. Go right ahead.
In March, I'm going to start and I don't want to talk it on the air right now. I wanted to get out there before it's crushed by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a plan to change the healthcare system. I'm going to implement it to start the programming, pay for the programming and everything to go out there. It's all going to be nonprofit. It's a matter of changing our legislators to allow us to utilize natural products properly. And I want to get it out to every single person out there that believes that natural products do work.
Mm-hmm.
And that segment is growing hugely because of products like what I sell and other things. And it's a tragedy what's happening right now. I'm so frustrated. They're attacking companies like myself. They come in with guns. They come in with guns like we're drug lords. The laws are written like we're drug lords. And so that they take all our money, they freeze all the accounts, and then we have no money to fight them. And then if we fight them, they try to go after like a tax evasion and things of that nature. I've known a number of friends of mine with great products, great thing, good people being attacked because they have products that work. And it's got to stop. It's just like this thing with MSM. They're trying to take it off the market because they don't want it. And
right.
It's cutting into their money supply. It's just irritating. Anyway.
Keith, I like what you said about this new idea that you have. And best of luck to you. I'd love to help you and be in touch with you on that.
You'll be one of the first that will see it. And you can put it on your website. It will be a little box which will promote a whole new way of looking at natural products and getting the government involved by using social media to mm-hmm. force them to do something that they don't want to do.
That's what I said earlier about how there are people like you and others that are slowly getting ready to come up with a new way of living and new ideas to combat all the old crap that's going on in this world. And what you just said is beautiful, and I will definitely help you promote it, not just in the radio show, but promoting and organizing are so important as whether we call ourselves an activist, advocate, or a fighter for something that's good. And I want you to know I'm in your corner all the way, because I've had talks with you before. I know what you're doing. That's why I have you on the show, and I really like that. Keith, we've got a few minutes left. Give us about 3 or 4 minutes of any final thoughts of inspiring and motivating our people to stay healthy and prevent any problems they have. Anything you want to say for the next 3 or 4 minutes, and then we'll close out with your contact information. Go right ahead.
There's so many things we could talk about. I mean, there's the fungus we already talked about, but we didn't talk about the pancreas situation.
Mm-hmm.
Let me enlighten your guests on that. When the gallbladder gets clogged up, the bile duct gets clogged up, and the pancreas ties into the bile duct to release insulin. So if it's clogged up, it starts to back bile into the pancreas, and it initially pisses off the pancreas and makes it spit out insulin. It's like me hitting you in the stomach and you breathe out. Well, this bile hits it because it's an acid, and it spits out insulin out of its cells, right? Which causes an excess amount of hypoglycemic, mm-hmm. which makes you crave carbohydrates to offset this thing, and it can make you shaky and fatigued and everything else, but it's insulin's the number one cause of aging. It damages the cells so much in excess. It needs just a little, just like oxygen. Oxygen actually is the number one cause of aging. Insulin is the number two because it does its thing, but the oxygen oxidizes our cells and causes free radical damage. So the less oxygen you have that suffices the amount of oxygen the cell needs is the perfect scenario.
Explain that a little more about oxygen, because a lot of people, they have oxygen machines, and that, what do you mean by oxygen?
Okay, so let me explain. Okay, we used to have 34% oxygen. That's when the dinosaurs, so the reason they were so big, there was so much oxygen, they could utilize it in their tissue and have a bigger mass. Now we have 22% or less oxygen, so our mass is decreasing, so what happens in the cell really quick is it, when you make ATP, and that's what the cell primary function is through the mitochondria, is to make ATP, which is the energy, the gasoline that runs every single cell, everything in our body. So you get glucose and oxygen, which we need, and mm-hmm. it goes into the cell, and it goes down two chambers. One's aerobic, one's anaerobic. Mm-hmm. The anaerobic is done by fermentation to make ATP, and the aerobic is done by oxygen. It has 100 chemical reaction that it has to go through. Okay? So normally one glucose and oxygen makes 38 ATP, 4 from anaerobic and 34 from aerobic. Now, if you don't have enough oxygen, which we don't have enough in because our system's so corrupt and pollution and everything else, if we don't have enough oxygen, it starts to go to the anaerobic cell to produce the energy. And the anaerobic cell is normally only utilized when you do lift something heavy. You need instant energy to move something. And because it's a fermented time, it can produce the energy much more rapidly than the anaerobic side down the oxygen side. And so the anaerobic side is like a dirty diesel. It produces a lot of free radical damage. It's like smoke coming out of a diesel engine. Mm-hmm. On the aerobic side, it's more like a gasoline engine. You don't see the things. There's still gas in there, but it's still functioning properly.
Keith, we got to close down.
Oh.
Can you give us your contact information, please?
Yeah, it's Keith Morey at sgsresearch.com, and it's supergoodstuff.com on the Internet. Supergoodstuff, one word, supergoodstuff.com. And it's Keith Morey, and if you have any problems or anything you want to discuss, see if you can schedule up for your listeners. If they sign up, we'll try to get them a 15-minute free consultation with anything that they think is happening with them.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Our listeners, stay in touch with this man. There's a lot of good information. We let him talk a lot today because there's a lot of good stuff. Thanks so much, Keith. You've been wonderful as usual, and I will be talking to you again very soon.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. That was very good. All right, let's talk about a few things. First of all, next week's show is going to be with Cindy Sellers. She is a master cleanser, health coach. She is going to be talking about how we can beat this epidemic of diabetes and other major diseases through two things, along with lots of other
vitamins and foods. The two things he's going to bring out more is going to be our self-love and happiness. How loving yourself and being happy, and that has a way of healing you. We talked about this in other sense in the show about happiness and love and being nice to people and being good, so forth. However, he's going to go deep into how that affects your health, your brain, your heart, your system, your immune system, how being healthy and being happy can help you prevent diseases like cancer, etc. So be sure to listen to the show next week. That's next Saturday, January the 30th, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Let me also give you my number if you have any questions about anything, 323-770-1925. I'm Bobby Elias. Let's create a better world. Healthy aging is all about just getting your beating off disease, living longer, through learning all these new things that we have on this show. I've got some great shows coming up. We've got several big-time guests that I want to bring on more and more, and we'll be having that in the next few weeks. So let me say goodbye by thanking Jason, the director of PRN, our engineer today, Jesse. I want to thank Gary Nell for having this wonderful, great radio station, Progressive Radio Network, the number one station in the world. And I will be interviewing people that are with Gary Nell, some of the people that work, that put together the films, the movies, some of the people, Jason, that is doing all the work on PRN, and other people that are the nutritionists. We're going to be interviewing different people to let people know more about this great, great PRN and Gary Nell and associates. Also, I want to thank our LA group, Stuart Hassel, Jimmy D, Lydia, and I want to thank you. I want to thank Keith Moray, our guest, and finally, I want to thank you, the listeners, for tuning in. Thank you so much. Be sure to tune in next week for self-love and happiness. Thank you.
There comes a time when we heed a certain